It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. The vice presidential debate has understandably been the topic of a lot of discussion in politics this past week. And we heard from Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker sharing his thoughts after the debate on MSNBC.
Over and over, you heard lies and kind of slick answers from J.D. Vance. And you know what you heard from Tim Walz? It was a guy who is like a trust that lives down the street from you, the coach that you had in high school that you trusted, the teacher that you could confide in. He spoke in a way that I think everyday Americans, you know, the working families of America really understand.
Beside the debate, a lot of other stories made political news across Illinois and around the country. And here to talk about some of what's happened in politics on our Friday roundtable is Brendan Moore. He's Illinois government and politics reporter for Lee Enterprises Papers, which include the Herald and Review, Indicator, the Pantograph in Bloomington, and the Post-Dispatch in St. Louis. Brendan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Brian.
Three papers that don't put their city names in the title. Always complicating AP style. All right, I digress. Brendan, let's get back to Governor J.B. Pritzker, who we heard from there. He was sort of one of the official surrogates for Walz in the spin room after the debate. With that in mind, how would you sum up what you've heard from Pritzker on the debate, on the debate and on his fellow Midwestern Governor Walz?
Well, I think really just hit it there, Brian, that the governor really played up Governor Walz's Midwest roots and kind of, I guess you would say, a folksy charm that he has. You could say that the governor was there and back in a New York minute. He had several events in Illinois that day, and he went out to the debate in New York, was in the spin room, and basically kind of said what he said all along about Governor Walz, playing up that Midwest background and some of the attributes that made Governor Walz, an attractive pick for Democrats, for Vice President Harris. Obviously, vice presidential debates historically have not mattered a whole lot to the final outcome. And I think most polls after this debate showed that it was kind of a wash.
I think most say that both of the candidates did what they had to do, or at the very least, did not make a major error. And I think Governor Pritzker pretty much summed up what Governor Walz did, and again, kind of that background that he has.
Yeah, I suppose that is all in the eye of the beholder, and whether one considers not recognizing the outcome of the previous election an error or something else. Pritzker, of course, was on the short list of people the Harris campaign was looking at for its potential running mates. He had been appearing in national media for months before that, but to what extent do we know whether being part of this VP process affected his national profile, even though he was ultimately passed over?
Well, I think that during that very truncated deep stakes process, he, along with several other candidates, hit the national media circuit and, obviously was promoting Vice President Harris, but also kind of in effect promoting himself as a possible candidate. And he, even before that, had been, really trying to raise his national profile, visiting with a lot of state Democratic parties, doing events, a lot of media hits. And so I don't know if it was the deepfakes per se that did that, but it kind of went into what the governor had been doing in terms of trying to kind of be in the national conversation. He also has done that on this issue of abortion with this national group that he founded and is kind of playing in some of these states where they have referendums. So it makes sense that he's been kind of a very visible surrogate, if you will, whether it was, in the spin room for this vice presidential debate and also for Vice President Harris on the campaign. He's been going to several states. I believe he was in New Hampshire a few weeks ago. He was in Arizona last weekend, knocking on doors and trying to fire up Democrats,
You can tell he's kind of a political animal. He loves, campaigning and politics, and I would not be surprised to see him do, more of that travel and also more of the media hits as Election Day gets closer.
And he certainly has the money. I think I even saw a Pritzker ad not long ago, even though there's not an election for governor for 2 more years.
Only
But
2 more years, Brian.
yeah, only
Coming
two.
up.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. I want to move on and spend some time talking about the environment and specifically news about Archer Daniels Midland, the multinational agricultural company. Its North American headquarters are in Illinois. It emerged recently that it's had to stop carbon dioxide injections below those headquarters. What has been going on there?
Right. So please pause me if I get a little too in the weeds. It's a very complicated topic, but basically ADM has the only active class six injection well in the country, which basically allows for them to capture and store carbon below their headquarters in Decatur. This is a technology that is being touted as a way for some of these industries to decarbonize, and hard to decarbonize industries. So ADM's been doing this for
And
the
just maybe
past
just like sort of the basic, sort of elementary school explanation, formerly smokestack or some sort of tube that pumps carbon up into the air, exacerbating global warming. Now it's pumped deep, deep underground where it's stored or supposed to be stored indefinitely, right?
Right. It's supposed to be stored, more than a mile underneath the surface, and in the ground, and not going up into the air and polluting the air. At least that's the idea. And Illinois is considered kind of ground zero for this because they have rock formations that make it just kind of a favorable place for this technology, which it has a lot of federal subsidies behind it, a lot of tax credits that are incentivizing in just companies like ADM to do this. So ADM is kind of considered a pioneer in the field, though. They've been doing this for at least a decade below their Decatur facility. But obviously, some challenges have emerged. Last year, they found that one of their demonitoring wells, pipe had corroded, and earlier this year, it was revealed that as a result of that corrosion, some carbon and other fluids had seeped out, about 500 feet above where they are permitted to store carbon. So this is still way below the surface. Far away from any drinking water, or any, where it'd be any danger to people's health. But it did raise some significant questions about, the foolproofness of this technology. Folks, in the industry say it is safe and that the risk is low, but this just shows that it is not 100%. So ADM got cited by the EPA for that leak, and right now there's a proposed administrative order that would basically kind of force them into compliance and basically force them to do certain testing and other things to remedy this. And so ADM, it's technically not in effect yet because there's a 30-day comment period, but ADM has started to do some of that testing, and through that they found that their other demonitoring well, there may have been some seepage out of that. It doesn't appear like it was carbon. It was basically this brine or this salt water, but it was enough for ADM to say we are going to halt our carbon injections until we can kind of get to the bottom of this. So basically, there was a pause right now, and we'll see where it goes, but. It's safe to say that it has made a lot of people uneasy because obviously, there is Lake Decatur, which is right next to ADM's facility, and it's very close to the Mahomet Aquifer, which supplies drinking water to about 1 million people in central Illinois. So a lot of people are concerned and are going to be watching this very closely as this develops, as this process plays out with the EPA.
And what would be the concerns here? I mean, if it's, is it just that carbon gets back out in the atmosphere, or could this is the idea that the chemicals that the carbon is mixed with could poison the drinking supply? What would be the worst case scenario?
Yeah, I mean, the worst case scenario would be that there's a leak and either it goes up to the surface and obviously carbon, obviously there's always carbon in the atmosphere and it, but when you do it in such a concentrated amount, it can kill people. And that would certainly be a concern. But then also the drinking water. I mean, if carbon gets, mixes in with the drinking water, and taints this aquifer, which is a sole source aquifer, which basically means that if something happens to it, there's really not a viable alternative to it. That basically it would taint the drinking water, and that would cause a lot of concerns for people in central Illinois. I guess I don't know if I could get into the details about
Yeah,
why
no,
that
that's
is,
fine. Well, so
but
yeah.
yeah.
Well, let me ask, so briefly, what are some of the political responses, right? It seems like maybe some local lawmakers are at odds with the Pritzker administration in how best to respond to this.
Yeah. So in some more background, in May, the legislature passed some state level regulations around carbon capture and sequestration, but they did not include protections for the Mahomet Aquifer, which a lot of environmental advocates have been fighting for. So some central Illinois lawmakers have proposed basically a follow-up bill that would basically ban carbon injections below a sole source aquifer, which is what the Mahomet Aquifer is. So that's from Representative Carol Ammons of Urbana and Senator Paul Faraci of Champaign. But Governor Pritzker was asked about this bill a few days ago, and he seemed to throw some cold water on it. Said he's all about protecting the aquifer, but he doesn't know if this bill is the right way to do it. Which, like, you can see both sides. Obviously, even if there's like a 0.1% chance something happens, people, want to protect their drinking water. But also, if you do that, then that significantly limits where you can do carbon capture in Illinois, because that's a 20 county area, and this is again considered prime carbon capture area. And so, industry will understandably want to have access to a lot of this area where the aquifer is under. And so we will see where it goes. I mean, we'll see. We have a veto session, or if it maybe gets taken up next year. But it's certainly going to be, I think there's going to be some pressure on lawmakers, especially with some of this news coming out of ADM.
Yeah, interesting. So we, you do one sort of technology to try to prevent global warming or reduce it, and you end up potentially endangering water supplies. I'm reminded of that Thomas Sowell quote, "There are no solutions, only trade-offs." We're
Right.
talking with Brendan Moore, Illinois government and politics reporter for Lee Enterprises. This is the 21st show. We're in the middle of our Friday week in review. Just a few minutes left. I do want to touch on another story out of Decatur this past week, and that is former Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger of Illinois spoke at Millikan University on Monday. He was also at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago back in August. What did he have to say about taking on that unusual role for a Republican former congressman?
Yeah, he kind of acknowledged that it's a bit of an awkward alliance that he's a part of with the Democrats, as he says, to preserve democracy protect it from former President Donald Trump. Basically kind of laid out what he I guess efforts I guess to win this election. He's obviously supporting Vice President Harris. And even looking beyond that, he had talked about that, even after this election, I mean, efforts have to be made to protect institutions and protect democracy. And, he kind of talked about the impact of, after cycle of saying that elections are stolen or rigged, that can lead to a corrosion of democracy, and that's not healthy. But he was optimistic though, in the long run. He believes that there has to be a center right party in the country, and that if the Republicans don't, I guess, get out of their
Trump days, as I guess he would see it, that something else will rise to I guess challenge it or replace it on the political right. But we will see. He did mention that he would be open to serving in Vice President Harris's cabinet, which was kind of interesting. But yeah, he it was very kind of an interesting week for some of the anti-Trump Republicans. Obviously, Kinzinger had that prominent role at the convention, and then we saw, I believe, yesterday, Liz Cheney with Vice President Harris in Wisconsin gave a big speech urging Republicans to as they put it, put country over party. And so it's been just kind of pushing that. They've been kind of pushing that message, and they know that the majority of Republicans are not going to listen to them, but they're hoping that they get like 8 or 9 or 10% or whatever sliver that the vice president would need to win in some of these swing states.
Yeah, it's surprising to me a little bit how few Republicans who have, expressed concerns about Trump in the past yet have not gone as far as Kinzinger and the Cheneys have in actually endorsing Harris. Just about 30 seconds left. I know you're a big White Sox fan. How are you coping with the end of this dismal, dismal season? We talked last week on the show, and just to update listeners who may not be paying attention, they did actually break and set that record for the most losses in a season, at least since 1901.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, the Caleb Williams is looking better for the Bears, so that helped.
All right, you're
Connor
pivoting like
Bedard
a,
should be
you've
back
spent too much
soon.
time with politicians.
Yeah, no, really, it's hard to be a White Sox fan, man. I mean, and as there's been a lot of great journalism done the past couple of weeks about this awful season, and there's a lot of reasons why they lost 121 games,
Well,
but.
let's end with quoting the great Ozzie Guillen. Unfortunately, I'm a White Sox fan. Brendan Moore, Lee Enterprises, thanks so much for being with us on the 21st show.
Always a pleasure, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Coming up after the break, Autumn Leaves. It's the 21st show. Stay with us.